some of us were able to be there last night. Some of us weren't able to kind of spend some time praying for Audrey, an extended time to just kind of confirm what God's doing in her and bless her and encourage her on her way. She's leaving in about a month's time. And so what I want to talk about this afternoon is actually these moments of going, of leaving, of goodbyes. I don't know, I'm always up here talking about, like, I think last year I was up here talking about sin, and I think I talked about sin on Easter or something. I'm always up here, like, ruining the good time. But I think it's important that we talk about leaving and how to say goodbye. And I think it's because it's particular to what happens here in our city. A few years ago, I was in a group of people, and we were talking about doing church here in New Haven. And we were talking about what was really good about doing church in New Haven, what was really good, just about, like, life in New Haven. Like, what do we love about New Haven? We're just, like, kind of dreaming for the future and just kind of taking some stock. And then we came to, like, what is the hardest part of not just doing church, but, like, life in New Haven? And everybody kind of was quiet for a moment, and then someone piped up, and she said simply, "Everyone leaves. That's the hardest part." She said, "You know what, for all the good things that have happened over the years in the church that we were in at that time, the hardest part about it is that at the end of the day, everyone leaves." I think this is what often it means to live in New Haven. If you grew up here, I know a lot of the folks that I know who grew up here feel about this place the way I felt about where I was from. That is objective number one, get me out of here. I only applied to college at least a day's drive from where I grew up. And I think that's often, you know, when our kids graduate from high school, we send them away from here to go to college or whatever else life would have for them next. If you're a college student, you know this. You just went through and are maybe continuing to go through the process of saying goodbye to the graduating seniors in your life. Other university types know this. You know how grant cycles, projects with end dates, the process of just kind of getting training and being released into the things that you've been trained for, all of that involves geographic location, kind of feeling unstable and impermanent. And of course, then there's just like the general American churn of life that just always has us moving from one place through career shifts, new jobs, etc. And so I think if we're going to try, I talked about this last summer as the twofold mirror image New Haven escape plan. Whether you're part of kind of what we call like the local class or the global class around here, doesn't matter. It works differently for you, but your objective remains the same, which is to leave. That's okay. So I think if we're really going to deal with building a real community here, like here as in the States, or here particularly in New Haven, my hunch is that we're going to have to get pretty good at saying goodbye. And the good news on that front is that we're going to have plenty of practice this summer. We just ordained, can we turn down this mic just a little bit? I'm like feeling like if I walk too far this way, you're about to lose your hearing. We just ordained Audrey. She's not leaving right now, but she is going in about a month or so over to Taiwan. I was just looking over the Sunday gathering schedule that we keep and noticed that like announcement number one for like about every other week this summer is so-and-so's last Sunday. Like pray for them. And you can see some of the places that we're sending these people to. Elisa, Karen and Seppi, Mark and Sunny, Audrey, Casey and Adam, Janine, Tina, and probably some folks I didn't mention. And a lot of these folks are like my dear, dear friends. And I know many of them, these folks are dear to many of you. My hunch is that if we continue to be obedient to God, we're only going to have more of these kinds of partings. We need to get good at goodbyes. And so this talk is going to be pretty personal. I hope that that's not self-serving. I mean, in some ways, there will be many times at which I'm like preaching to myself, and so I suppose like this could be self-serving that way. But I hope not. But as many of you probably know if you've been talking to me, the idea that so many of my dear friends are leaving this summer has really weighed on me pretty heavily. Sometimes healthily, sometimes unhealthily so. And I feel like I've heard from God rather clearly about this. He said we believe in that possibility here, right? hearing things from God. And what I felt like I heard was this, namely that no one is supposed to leave out the back door. He's just like, that was just it. He's like, no one goes out the back door. We are supposed to send our friends, send our very dearest friends, send the people whom we love, who we've seen God do such amazing things through, the people that we've built community with. Can't let them slip out the back door. Have to send them. And so I want to talk this afternoon about precisely how to do that. I want to talk specifically about how understanding ourselves and our friends as called by God, invited by God to follow Jesus, makes all the difference in saying goodbye. And I want to talk honestly about some of the emotions that can be tied up in saying goodbye, either as those who are going or as those who are staying. Because I have a hunch that there's some general ways that we think about staying and going that keep us from talking about these things and keep us just kind of thinking about them ourselves and trying to be pleasant. But I really want us to, that's generally what we've found is not the way to go in building the kind of community that we want. So even at this moment, I want to invite us to really enter in and to be honest and to kind of examine our hearts before God even in this process. Because it's so, so important that ECV be a sending community. So yeah, I'm going to be talking this afternoon about something that's pretty specific to our lives here at the Elm City Vineyard. But fear not if you are a visitor with us here today. Regardless of whether ECV is your community, if you are long here in the States, or especially long here in New Haven, figuring out how to process transient culture, I think, and what that means for our kind of friendships and the relationships that matter to us is something significant that we all have to deal with. And my suggestion for you is that coming to understand the world as one in which there is a God who is active and seeking to call us, seeking to invite us into the defining adventures of our lives, whether those are kind of flashy, like culture-making kinds of things, or kind of the less glamorous things, but equally important daily commitments, you know, to like love our families and love our communities. That understanding ourselves as called by God, invited by God, transforms for the better our ways of processing the never-ending flow of relational changes in our lives. So hang in there. My hope is that even as I talk about how we in ECV are working to be a community that both stays and goes well, God will be speaking to you about what it might mean to be called by God and how that might change the ways that you think about the relationships that are of value to you. So that said, if you were at the ordination service last night, you probably heard may have noticed a line that you probably figured was an ECV like insertion into a little liturgy that we did. At the very beginning of the most structured part of our time last night, I read actually the following sentence. I said, Audrey, every Christian is called to follow Jesus Christ, serving God the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is called to follow Jesus. Here we are ordaining Audrey, and yet we remember we are all called. Now that sounds just like the kind of like egalitarian populism that you might expect in the Elm City Vineyard. But I promise to you that phrase was lifted wholesale from the Book of Common Prayer, a centuries-old kind of prayer book of the Protestant English-speaking church. So apparently we're not the first to know. Everyone is called. Everyone is called to follow Jesus. Jesus' invitation in the Bible is always a call that he says, come follow me. And Those are a few places where you can find Jesus saying this. This is a rather common thing that he says. And it lasts through past the Gospels into the things that Paul, one of the early kind of church planters, always said. He's constantly calling the people that he's writing to, the kletoi, the called. And if we're going to learn to think about what it means to say goodbye, this is where we need to start. We are all called. Because this means that although we have called Audrey our hero in some of our, and I don't want to take any of that back, I mean every bit of that, in some of our announcements, it means, and even though we've gone ahead and recognized a particular special calling on her life, it means that all of us indeed are called, invited by Jesus to come and follow him. And there are universal aspects of that call. A call to follow Jesus, for example, is always a call out of sin. A call out of the destructive stuff that kind of isolates us from one another. The stuff that kind of eats away and isolates us from God and from the people that we love. And while there are those universal aspects, there are always these particular aspects, these particular kinds of calls. The specific roles involving specific people and times and places. In fact, the call of God is a huge cause of goodbyes in the Bible. Jesus, often when Jesus gives his follow me line, what happens is the people he's calling drop everything, leave their family, leave the people that they know, and they go and follow Jesus. We'll take a look later at a passage in the book of Acts, which records some of the activities of these early folks planting churches. It talks about Paul's tearful farewell to the Ephesians. Paul's constantly going around planting churches and moving along. But as we'll see, that's actually a dual call story. There's a call that Paul's following out that is a call to go, and then there's the Ephesians' call to stay. And God's call, I think, is always like that. That is, it's always a mixed bag to a mixed group of people, right? There's always the call to go, and there's always the call to stay. There's the call for some people to head off into what God has for them, and there's a call for others to stay behind and support them and send them and love them. Though I have to say, even though I think that's always the case, I think that in general, communities have a bias one way or the other. In particular communities, we have a mindset either that we tend to think that God's call is usually a call to go, or other communities will have a mindset to think that God's call is usually a call to stay. And I think that actually both are possible traps for us here in the Elm City. And both of them are problematic, and I want to talk about those for a second. I'm going to call them, a going community or a staying community. And each of these communities have advantages, right? Like the good thing about a going community is that a going community supports all of the wonderful things that we want to accomplish in our lives. Be scientists, people with international kind of interests. You've seen this slide before. People, called to raise children and raise young people for the kingdom of God or to do any kind of scholarship or whatever else it is in us that makes us like world-changing people. Like a going community is a community that's going to be easy for us to locate that in our lives. It's easy for us to understand ourselves as world changers that way. But the downside is that in a going community, we are never really invested in our city, in the folks around us, or really, ultimately, in one another, because we're constantly on the go, constantly looking for the next thing. And I'll tell you, I have lived like this here. I gave a talk about this last summer. I might, maybe I should just like pop that up online again if you weren't here last year. But I've lived like this in this city. It's really easy to live like this, to live like as a going person. It sounds like you like need to use the bathroom. To live as someone who's like constantly thinking that like life is not going to start until I leave New Haven, right? Some of you have thought this. I have thought this. I've lived this way, right? Life will start once I get out of here. 17-year-old Matt, if you had told him that at age 29 he would still be in New Haven, would be just heartbroken. And would have assumed that his life was a total failure, or was going to be, by the time he was 29 and still in New Haven. This is no good. This is not a way that we should live. So I wouldn't want us to be a community that's all about going, but neither would I want us to be a community all about staying. In a staying community, you know, relationships are deep. Connection with the community and the city could go really, really far. All the richness of that could be great because the value is staying and being together and being here and being rooted. And those are really, really good things, but there's a downside. The downside is that there's like a really high value, right? Like never leave. Right? And the problem is that value, because staying becomes a higher value than following Jesus. And let me give you a general principle. If any value supplants following Jesus at the center of a community, that is a step backwards. Okay? So we could be talking about anything. That's just like a freebie. You can seriously take that home, apply it to anything. Following Jesus would be better than any other value you can think of. Because that value is there, all of a sudden, the call of God to go is either never heard, or it's treated with suspicion, or at the very best, it's obeyed only with guilt and shame for betraying those that are staying. Staying communities are deeply suspicious of the call of God to go. And I think, actually, ironically enough, because New Haven at large is such a like going community, I think staying churches and kind of like other kinds of communities that might stand against the like larger culture, staying communities are a kind of like reasonable and not uncommon response to the kind of going culture around us. And I think the more we start to understand America as a going culture, I think staying culture communities kind of spring up. When we act like only a staying or a going community, having to say goodbye to those dear to us can cause us to experience like all kinds of like horrendous emotions. How do I know this? It's because this is actually what tipped me off on trying to chase all of this down in my own life and bring you this message today. I started seeing some really, really ugly stuff in my own heart. And I was like, God, where is this coming from? What is this about? So I just want to walk us through a couple things here, the emotional fallout of a going or staying community, a community that's only willing to hear one or the other of those calls. And this point is the point at which I have to admit I'm preaching to myself. And in the spirit of what we've been talking about the last few weeks, I have to say this is my confession of sin to you guys, especially to those of you who we've been in conversation about your leaving. And there have been things in my heart that I've had a hard time processing. The first thing is despair, okay? I'm trying to be honest about these things, all right? Because I think we know that these emotions can happen. Sometimes we feel them if we're staying, and sometimes we fear that our friends are feeling them when we're going. I'm gonna throw them out here and talk about how I think understanding ourselves as called by God can help us get past them. But despair. Now, I think a certain amount of sadness is appropriate when we send people that we love dearly. If we were overjoyed to send our dear friends like far, far away, there would be something wrong, right? We can experience a certain kind of joy deep in us, and we'll talk about that. But I think a certain kind of sadness is appropriate. But again, here's a general principle. I think that, well, sadness is sometimes like something that we experience and God will experience with us. Despair is never God's plan. In despair, you know, I would start to think things like, I started to experience this, that the names kind of started piling up for departures for this summer. I started thinking about all the things that we planned to do together, all the things that we hope to see happen in our city, and I started thinking, oh, that's it. That's it. We're done for. Right? Hannah will tell you, despair comes easily in my heart, in my life. It's easy to get me very enthused about something, and it's equally easy to pull the rug out from under me. And so as you know, I started to think about the people that we were sending, I started thinking, that's it. That's it. I quit. Not just the church, my life in this city is not going to work without these people. And then I, you know, as I started to pray about it, I said, okay, this is not good. I said, God kind of spoke to me, and he said, wait, hold on. Everyone's called, aren't they? If all are called, and ECV is still called to become and to do what God has shown us, if God is still who he is 3 months ago when no one was going anywhere, then God still has great plans for ECV, still has great plans for New Haven, still has great plans for me, has great plans for you. Then the fact that God has called someone else, somewhere else, that doesn't repeal God's call to others of us to stay. And more importantly, his faithfulness to those called to go doesn't repeal his faithfulness to those called to stay. So I just kind of came to the end of that. And if you're kind of feeling that or might be feeling that by like August 10th, after you're like, I can't pray for any more people who are going. God is faithful. He is good. And what is happening, I'll tip my hand, is God is multiplying his kingdom. And this is a good thing. We need not have despair. His faithfulness is still with us. All right, second thing. And this is when I knew I was in big trouble. Bitterness. And again, I'm being honest about my sin here. Forgive me. Bitterness set in for me, I think, as my sense of abandonment by God turned into a kind of sense of abandonment by people. And perhaps you've experienced that or can imagine that. It's easy to start to imagine that those who are called to go, are called to go do the things that God's asked them to, and that maybe those of us who are here are called to be, I guess in my mind, I used the word faithful. I think I meant dutiful, to like holding down the fort and like doing what's here. And if you know the story, this is very much like, I think, the older brother syndrome, if you've heard that one. Others got to go follow Jesus while the rest of us are chained to our commitments. I was chained to my commitments. I'll stop projecting on you. But in that moment, I feel like God spoke to me most strongly. There is no one not called. There is no one sitting on the sidelines. There is no one simply required to be dutiful while others get to go follow Jesus, right? This is not how it works. God, I think, was more than a little bit angry at me at that moment. He asked me, are you called to New Haven? Are you called to ECV? Are you called, this most importantly, are you called to the life that you're living right now? Because if you're not called to that, then you probably ought to go do the thing that you feel that you're called to, right? But if you are, then, you know, I mean, I imagine God's, then what is it to you if I call someone somewhere else? Right? Are you called here? Then let's be excited. Let's dig into the things that we're called for and let's bless those who are celebrating and the things that I'm doing in their lives. All are called. Those who stay, no less than those who go. The question was squarely aimed at me. What has God called me to do? What has God called you to do? What has God invited us to do together? I think those emotions are most experienced like on the staying side within a staying community. I think the other side of that is guilt, I think, which I think is what maybe people on the going side might feel if those of us on the staying side are so unhealthy as I've been the last couple of months and start to get a sense. I think these people feel like we're betraying them. Now I'm starting to feel guilty. I thought I was just following God and trying to be obedient to do the things that he's leading me into, but now all of a sudden I have this other layer of guilt coming on. The last emotion I want to talk about is maybe more typical in a going community, but I think it probably happened in both. There's a tentativeness to engage relationally. After seeing, this is like a habitual consequence, after seeing so many of our friends kind of come and go, I think that there can be eventually a kind of tentativeness to really engage again relationally. And a tentativeness to really like invest again. It's like, you know what? I've been through this one. I've seen this movie before. That's not what God has for us. That's not what God wants for us. So I think that's how things go in a going or staying community. And things are very different in a sending community. Sending communities understand that they are full of people called to go and full of people called to stay. They understand that these two groups serve one another. They encourage one another. and are served by one another. We see sending communities in action all over the book of Acts, right? As people are sending out the apostles and receiving them in various places. I just want to read this passage from Acts 20. Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem. He senses this is his last trip as a free man. And as he's sailing around, they call the coast of Asia, we would consider it the coast of Turkey, he intentionally skips over where he would dock to go to Ephesus, because he doesn't want to get slowed down, and he knows that like if he goes to Ephesus, he's going to get sucked in. He loves these people so much. But he can't go by without seeing them at all. After all, he's not sure that he's ever going to get a chance to see them again. So he has them come meet him down at Miletus. So we pick it up there. From Miletus, Paul sent a message to Ephesus asking the elders of the church to meet him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the entire time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, enduring the trials that came to me. I did not shrink from doing anything helpful, proclaiming the message to you and teaching you publicly and from house to house, as I testified both to Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus. And now, as a captive to the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecutions are waiting for me. But I do not count my life of any value to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the good news of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will ever see my face again. So you keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he obtained with the blood of his own Son. So now I commend you to God and to the message of his grace, a message that is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all who are sanctified." When he had finished speaking, he knelt down with them all and he prayed. There was much weeping among them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving especially because of what he had said, that they would not see him again. Then they brought him to the ship. All right, so here we see this dual call that I was talking about before. Paul is called to go, but also, let's not miss it, he said that he's captive to the Spirit, but the Ephesians apparently also have work to do in the Spirit. They're called to stay. They're charged with continuing God's work in their city, continuing the work that they're entrusted with where they live. I think this is what, and then tearfully, right? Imagine this, down on the beach. Tearfully, they pray for Paul, they exchange kisses, they embrace, and then they send him onto his ship. I think this is what a sending community looks like. And we are all called to be members of a sending community. Some called to go, some called to stay, some called to send, others called to be sent. And our expectation should be that those roles will change over time, right? Someone called to support and send those called to go for a season eventually becomes one of those sent themselves. Those called to go nevertheless spend seasons investing locally and helping send others. I think being called to a sending church means that we have to have a wide-angle view of the body of Christ. And we've been talking a lot about the body of Christ this spring. This is a passage we haven't read from Romans. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, naturally, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another." This is odd. Well, how on earth can you be a body and yet send people? You generally don't send your ear like on an excursion, right? Like, go here, ear, go do this thing. But I think that's because if we're thinking that way, we have too small of a view of the body of Christ. We're not sending anyone outside of the body of Christ. Hannah was helping me think of an analogy for this. She's like, maybe it's more like blood cells getting like shot through from like one place to like another place. And they were trying to decide whether, you know, New Haven was like the left ventricle, you know, some really important part, or whether it's like the random place on the end of your pinky. Whatever it is, there's this sense that like as we send people out, we're not sending them out of the body of Christ. We're sending them within the body of Christ. And what's important here to me and what God's been speaking to me through this passage recently is that not only are we members of Christ's body, a global body that God is knitting together, but in fact, we are members of one another in that intricate and intimate relationship. And that means this, that whatever is best for one member of the body is best for every member. Whatever is best for one member of the body is best for every member. And so it suddenly became clear to me that not only did I just have to like get with the program and learn to like love and send my friends, but in fact, that like it was best for me that they go. If God is calling Mark to the University of Wisconsin, and I believe that he is, it is best for me that Mark goes. I will cry as that happens. But it's true. And if God's calling Audrey to go to Taiwan, it is best for all of us that she goes. That's what it means to be a body. Is what it means to be a sending church, is when you come to the point of sending, when you come to the point of sending someone away from you, it's not the end of relationship, and it's an expression of that relationship. It's saying to that person, God has knit us together in a way that if you don't do the thing that God's called you to do, it's bad for me. So you had better go do that, because that's the thing God's doing. That's the thing of being a sending community that transforms what it means to say goodbye, that transforms what it means to like go through life following a God who's leading us on the adventures of our lives. The key is to know that both ascending and staying, as going and staying, as members of a sending body, we're all called. Part of one body committed to one another into a wide-angle view lens of what God's doing in the world. I think that's the difference between leaving and being sent. The difference between having folks slip out the back door and sending people. That difference is relationship. When we send people, that's the culmination of walking out and walking through a process with one another of trying to discern God's call. Not just for some, but for all. So, I mean, this is it. This is what we have for today. ECV, Elm City Vineyard, we are called to be a sending community. If we understand that we are called to be a sending community, if we understand what that really means, then all of New Haven's disadvantages that we started with are actually its advantages. The fact of the churn of people and life here in New Haven is an amazing kingdom opportunity. New Haven is a natural place of influence in the world. And because we're kingdom people, we understand that has to do just as much with the poor among us as it does to do with the university students. But regardless, it remains the case that cultural leaders come from here and they pass through here. And so if we understand ourselves as a sending community, we can be a part of the world-changing work that God is doing in this ever-changing city. We can become a community supporting one another as those called to stay and those called to go. So I encourage you to think about this. I think God's calling some of us to stay, to provide points of stability and support, to invite those passing through to drink deeply from the well of God's love, right? And to get filled up and to build the foundations for the things that God wants to do in their lives and to build their lives on what matters. God's calling some of us to go, to engage in God's transforming work elsewhere in the world, which fundamentally, by the way, won't look all that different than it does here, actually. Remember, real life doesn't start only once you leave New Haven. I'll always remind you of that. But I think, really, God is calling us to both, or to maybe one and then the other. God is calling us to minister to one another, to encourage and support one another, and eventually to step out into that thing that God has for us wherever he is calling us. And we can walk with one another through these processes and celebrate joyfully with one another as God's call becomes crystallized in various ways, in various seasons. I think the result will be that eventually we can look at this map and we can look at it with joy, and not just see those that we're sending out this summer, but see those that we've already sent out before and the ones that we might send out later in coming years, the places that God might be calling various ones of us to, and we'd be able to see them for what they really are, the multiplication of God's work on the earth, the fruit of God's work here in New Haven and in our hearts and lives, and our treasure of our people and our relationships, the things that are most crucial to us, the investment of those things in God's purposes around the world. And that, for me, at least, has gotten me to the point where I think we're gonna have a good summer. Of sending and seeing the fruit of what God's been doing here and what God wants to do in other places through the people that we hold so dear. And to me, that's what's exciting about being here in New Haven. That's what's exciting about doing church here, about trying to follow Jesus here. So why don't we pray?